Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to House of Gospel. Dr. Clayton Howard, Deputy Commissioner of Human Rights, National Association of Black Defenders. Reverend Dr. Clayton Howard, Deputy Commissioner of Human Rights, our special guest this morning here on House C Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Dr. Clayton Howard has been in gospel ministries for over 33 years. He receives his education from Birmingham Eastman Bible College, Crichton College, Howard University, and National Baptist Educational Congress. Dr. Howard began preaching at Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Huddle, Kentucky in 1981 and received a certificate of ordination at Shiloh Baptist Church in 1982. Dr. Howard was pastor at Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, First Baptist Church in West Virginia, New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, and Greater New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, both located in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Howard is now the shepherd at the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Dr. Howard is a published author of the book Tried by Fire, But Not Burned, sharing personal stories from his own life. Pastor Howard takes readers on a journey of his failures and faith, both of which have been essential to his ministry and spiritual growth for over 33 years. Whether you have a checked past, a painful present, or a future headed straight for a cliff, his books bring you words of encouragement and hope for your situation. Your pain is not without purpose. The story serves as a reminder to us all that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Dr. Clayton Howard was born in Columbus, Ohio, to the Union of Reverend L.C. Howard and Sister Rosalie Howard. Again, welcome to House of Reverend Gospel Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back with you in a minute as we do an introduction for the National Association of Black Defenders. Stay with us. Dr. Howard will be joining us here shortly.
National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated. A nonviolent movement for social change. This is a national movement for social change. Build a coalition of people so we can have some direction in the midst of what's going on. We need more of a sense of direction and place. Have to understand the issues in order to understand the mindset. In order for us to bring back justice, we have to understand justice ourselves. The enemy might have changed his tricks, but we have to use the same strategies that we were used in the 1960s. Infiltrate the nation. You can rebuild this nation with love. Dr. Michael McCorvey, Sr., President of National Association of Black Defenders. Peace on the left, justice on the right. Let's do this another way. Let's vote. Educate yourselves. We will hit them at the polls. Let's do this peacefully. George would not want people to be violent. No justice, no peace. Prosecute the police. Keep my brother's name ringing. George Floyd, stop looting. Don't stop protesting. Terrence Floyd, the brother of George Floyd. Though I'm gone, I urge you to answer the highest calling of your heart and stand up for what you truly believe. Get out there and push. Stand up. Speak out. Get in the way. The same that my generation got in the way. Get in trouble. Good trouble. Necessarily trouble. If you see something that is not right, not fair, not just have a moral obligation to do something about it. My dear friend, your vote is precious, almost sacred. It is the most powerful nonviolent tool we have to create a more perfect union. The Honorable John Lewis, the National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated. Get involved. Find out about them, their resources, their vision, and their target issues. Their board members, quotes and excerpts from news, public health resources, criminal justice and prison reform, the gallery of pictures of their involvement. Get involved. Contact them. Contact the National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated. This is a public service message from House C Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio from 231 6th Avenue, Beatrice, Alabama.
All right. That was an introduction for the National Association of Black Defenders. We're expecting Dr. Clayton Howell to come on the line here shortly. We had asked Mr. Michael McCarvey, the executive director of National Association of Black Defenders, to sit in if Dr. Clayton Howard, Deputy Commissioner for Human Rights, is not able to join us. But anyway, we are going to try to reach Mr. McCarvey by telephone here and see can we get him on. We are live in the studio. Trying to reach Mr. McCarvey. Trying to reach Mr. McCarvey. All right. While we wait for Dr. McCarvey to come on the line, we're just into the broadcast. We will again play some music for you, and hopefully Dr. McCarvey will come online. We're waiting for him to call in. We gave the information to him for the call-in number, and we hope that he will be coming on the line here shortly. Let's talk a little bit about the National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated. What is it about this organization? This is a nonviolent movement for social change, builds a coalition of people so we can have some direction in the midst of what is going on. We need more of a sense of direction in places, have to understand the issues in order to understand the mindset. In order for us to bring black justice, we have to understand justice ourselves. The enemy might have changed his tricks, but we have to use the same strategies that were used in 1980. Infiltrate the nation. We can rebuild the nation with love. That's from the National Association of Black Defenders, Dr. Michael McCarvey Sr. Incorporated. His words in that regard to the organization, all about the organization. What is this organization about? About the National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated. Their mission is to build a better society through social change. Our purpose, to defend the truth while standing on the promises of freedom and justice for all. We are a Christian social nonviolent organization. Our nonviolent movement is for social change. The National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated, we stand by the truth and on the truth of social, economic, and environment justice for all. Defending the truth while standing on the promises. The promise of freedom and justice for all been met. We have to come first together as a people and understand the course of justice and what is taking place. We recognize the social unrest in our country. We recognize our social society has problems. We recognize we don't have a fair social, economic, environmental justice system in the United States of America. We want to defend and give a hand up for social, economic, environmental justice, and rebuild the wall, targeting issues such as criminal justice, prison reform, human rights, police brutality, false imprisonment, racial profiling, community policing with mental health, COVID responders re-entering back into society, poverty, discrimination, outer environment, which we live in and learn and work, livable wages, pay equity, equity in employment, health care, housing, education, and accountability. This is a nonviolent movement for saving lives and making a footprint for justice. However, we have to understand justice ourselves. Therefore, we have to educate. The enemy might have changed his tricks, but we're going to have to use the same strategies that were used in the 60s. Oh, Dr. Howard, Lord have mercy, Jesus. All right. We're back. We're waiting for we're waiting for we're waiting for Dr. Howard to call in on the radio station. We're live in the studio. Time is about 10 minutes after 11 here in okay, we have Dr. Howard on the line.
Hello, how you doing today?
Good morning, Dr. Howard. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Sorry for the inconvenience and taking so long to get back, but just got out of class. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
I,
sir.
I understand it. The word comes first.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like that one. We may be able to use that one later.
Okay.
The words come first. If they can't handle that, Dr. Howard, they got real problems.
I know that's right. We got to have that word. That word. That word is a living word. Yes, sir.
That's it. That's your guy.
That word
that's your
is a living word. That's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Howard, I went ahead and introduced you already, so I will go ahead and do it again if you don't mind. Read a little bit about you, and
sure.
Then you can come on. And all right, Dr. Clayton Howard,
okay.
Deputy Commissioner for Human Rights, National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated. Deputy Dr. Clayton Howard has been in the gospel ministry for over 33 years. He received his education from Birmingham Eastman Bible College, Crichton College, Howard University, and National Baptist Education Congress. Dr. Howard began his preaching at Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Huddle, Kentucky in 1981 and received his certificate of ordination at Shiloh Baptist Church in 1982. Dr. Howard has pastored the Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, the First Baptist Church in West Virginia, New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, the Greater New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, both located in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Howard is now the shepherd at the Ebenezer Baptist Missionary Baptist Church. Dr. Howard is the publisher and author of the book, Tried by Fire. I had an opportunity to look at that book. I like it. Tried by Fire, but not burned.
Bless you. Bless you.
Sharing personal stories from his own life, Pastor Howard takes readers on a journey of his failures and faith, both of which have been essential to his ministry and spiritual growth for over 33 years. Whether you have a checkered past, or a painful present, or a future headed straight for a cliff, his book brings words of encouragement and hope for your situation. Your pain is not without purpose. The story serves as a reminder to us all that we are more than conquerors that loved us. Dr. Clayton Howard was born in Columbus, Ohio, to the union of Reverend L.C. and Sister Rosalie Howard. I left off a little bit there, but that's you, Dr. Howard. Welcome to the show. Welcome to House of Reverend Dr. Block Talk Radio.
Thank you.
As one of NADER's National Association of Black Defenders board members, you have the mic.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm just honored that you called me, and I'm being interviewed at this time on your broadcast, and it sounds like you've got a very anointed and purpose broadcast and just proud to be a part of this organization that I am a part of, and I'm grateful, but I'm humble. I'm humble, and thank God that he's using us and using this organization to get some things accomplished, and it's young. The organization is young right now, but the Lord has blessed us to put our thumbprint in a couple places to be instrumental in some freedom for those who have been incarcerated. So it's just an honor to be here and to talk with you today.
Okay. Let us begin. Dr. Howard, as you know, I want to go political first because that's the front and center in everybody's lives of what's taking place. And the votes that is taking place, and it is our responsibility, according to God's words, to exercise the right to vote. And because He says, "Render unto the things Caesar, and render unto the things unto God." And the thing why you're here on this earth is your civic responsibility. And I'm quite sure that, from your perspective, that has been exercised from your perspective as well as your family. Give us your opinion on the vote. The situation that we're in right now, and how we at the National Association of Black Defenders can help empower more black people to continue to vote.
Oh, definitely. We have, number one, I can't see where we as blacks don't vote. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. I understand some of the challenges we have of choices we have to vote for. Nevertheless, we of color have no business ever doubting or not supporting voting and voting ourselves, because our foreparents spilled too much blood and too many lives was paid in order for us to have a right to vote. So we definitely need to exercise our privilege in doing so. The condition that we are faced with right now, personally, I'm doing a lot of teaching on that because this is somewhat biblical. And I mean by that, some of these things must come to pass, prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes, basically. So a lot of things we've seen, a lot of the condemnation and the slandering of different opponents, that is really somewhat biblical because the world is getting wickeder. And yes, we as a body of believers, we're going to have to be more, personally think we have to be more visible and more boisterous on the way that we need to be going. Second Chronicles 7:14 makes it plain that the saints, the Christians, we have the power to change some things if my people that are called by my name. So I do feel that the religious that's either white nor black, whatever. When you get to dealing with Christ and his blood, where there's no color. Civil rights was built on basically no color. It was built from the gospel. That's why God uses a man like Martin Luther King, because it had to be some gospel base to get us to the level that we need to be at. I do feel United States, we can raise from the level we are right now if we get back into God's word. I'm praying that God will send us some leaders, some gospel leaders who will stand politically as well as just the gospel. We have separated the gospel from our struggle, and that's why we're struggling. That's my personal opinion. I think the struggle would be much easier if we put God back in it. And get folk to realize it's not about color. It's about what is right, and how God created us all equal.
Mm-hmm. I think that is dead on point, because I always use the term in many situations, regardless of the time frame it is, we have left our first love. That's not only for the United States. That's for all the people in the United States. We have left our first love, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ,
that's right.
God Almighty, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit, he loved us in spite of our iniquity. He died for us in spite of our iniquity. That's our first love. And that, Dr. Clayton, I agree with you, is what's wrong with us human beings entirely in this country, especially black folks.
We're cut from that cloth. That's the cloth we cloth. We're cut from a faith cloth. And no matter how much education we get, and our leaders, I'm back to King, and I am a King, admirer, and follower for many reasons. He had humility. He had great education, but mainly had a foundation that was the gospel. So before we can look at him as a civil rights leader, we have to look at him as a gospel preacher. And the gospel preaching is what brought him to be a civil rights leader. We can't get out of without God bringing us out in Egypt land and everywhere. So God is our deliverer. And we're not lifting him, but we're lifting what we know. We're lifting our opinions and our thoughts, our Democratic Party, our Republican Party. Now we're independent parties, and we're lifting parties without lifting the one who can change the conditions in which we live in.
Oh, man.
I might be a little crazy, but I just feel if the church come together, we ain't got to worry about a vaccine. This COVID can be gone just by saints praying for it to be gone. I might have a crazy face, but that's the way I feel. You know?
Exactly. The power of prayer, the connection. Mm-hmm. You can call on it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime. And guess what? It won't be on my bill the next day.
That's right.
Let's go back to a basic issue so far as human rights. We don't want to get into the lane of being totally humanistic because God created us and we are human beings and we are the crown of his creation. But the status of the inner cities, the black-on-black crime, the single moms, the single dads, the drug-infested inner cities as well as other places, and they were driving, this is my opinion, what's driving this killing of black-on-black crime is money and the grappling in the gutter for survival. That's why blacks-on-blacks are killing each other from my perspective. Granted, sometimes there is a issue of altercation or violence against each other for personal reasons, wives fighting, whatever, things like that. But the root of all of it, in my opinion, Dr. Clay, is drugs and the young black men and women trying to make a living off of drugs and improper ways of earning a living. And the reason for that, they are not educated to the point where they can go get a regular, decent job or start a business on their own self. How can we at NADA turn that evil around? Or how can we bring light to that situation in the black community?
We got to get involved. We have to get hands-on involved. When I mean hands-on, one thing I always admire, and I don't even see them doing as much as they used to do it, and I really studied a lot on the Muslim faith, and I love the way they went into their projects in different places, and even how they go into the jail systems, and they teach young men and young women and give them a sense of direction. Until we get back to the grassroots and do what we used to do, our foreparents done it, and evangelize our community. See, a community will never be safe until a community gets saved. And the salvation of our Lord and Savior is not being proclaimed. We act like we're afraid. We're not going out to the gang members. We're not going out to the drug dealers themselves. And you are not pleading with them and talking with them. We're not talking to our children in schools. And we're not even warning them of the danger of the road they're going down. I remember a time in my earlier ministry, because I'm almost in my 40 years starting in January. But I remember 35 years ago, I would take 8th and 9th and 10th, 11th graders to the penitentiary and let them see the direction that they're going to wind up if they don't make up their mind and get a high school diploma, make up their minds to get a college education and be somebody. Not get something, but be somebody. That was the difference. We tell the kids to get something, and that's what they're doing. They're getting something. And when we used to teach our children, be somebody, and if you be somebody, you'll get something. Get you a degree. Be a lawyer. Don't be a doctor. We told our children to be somebody. And we went out and we started elementary level. We worked with our children years ago in the 60s and the 50s. We worked with these children and we gave them a sense of direction. We're not even a church. I'm back to the church and I'm a churchman. I come 100 defense for the church. However, being a churchman and a prophet, I still say we've dropped the ball. We're not getting out there working with our communities, talking about, well, the parents won't allow us to do that. God didn't give us no spirit of fear. We can go out there and help these children. We can shift the direction. Them are young doctors that's going to jail. These are young lawyers who are crackheads. You know, we're not out there giving them the direction to go. And then the school's not doing nothing but, you know, giving them a passing grade, doing whatever they can do, and getting them out of there.
Oh, that is so powerful.
The system.
Well,
but the system is us.
These are cold words that you just used there. I would like for you to make a note of that. I'm going to make a note of that. 2020, 21, and beyond, the system is you and I.
That's
the system is us. It ain't nobody else. Ain't nobody coming on a white horse to save you. God has given you all you need.
That's right.
To save.
Mm-hmm.
How can we at NADA, it's like we're in the choir preaching, brother. I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. How can we at NADA, and with our mission that Dr. McCarver has laid out for us over the year, how can we begin to go into action? Just like you said, how can we begin to empower local communities? Just like me at this radio station, we need 15 or 20 more radio stations. That could be a problem.
I was going right there.
You got one right
yes,
here
yes,
now.
Yeah.
Let's add 15 or 20 more that powers the message of the National Association of Black Defenders and what they hope for this country. That right there is one. I hope Dr. McCarver
yes,
is listening. It's one we can tackle right now. I know I'm
yes,
one of them.
You're right.
I'm the beginning.
You're right. Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. That is a start. And, you know, back in the day, we did have radio talk shows and so forth. And I come up when you read my resume from Columbus, Ohio, and I never forget there was a man there, radio DJ, which you might have heard of him back in the 60s and 70s by the name of, Les Brown. Les Brown. Hey, that was insane. But Les Brown did a lot of communicating with the community, east side, north side, you know, of Columbus. Whenever something was going on, he was on the radio talking about it, motivating us. Whenever an incident happened with the police department, this ain't the first rodeo for us having police shoot down young men. I remember as a very young fellow, I think I was about maybe in the 11th grade, and a young boy was shot on 22nd Street in Columbus, Ohio. Donald Walker was his name, and it was shot in his pajamas. Oh, my God. That next morning, Les Brown got on that WVKO radio station, and he got to talking, and he motivated folk, and, man, we got out there. You know, we responded, you see? So we got to get back to that. We got respected, not because we were just packing up together, riding or anything like that, but we were respected because we came together, and we came together intelligently, and we came together with the law. And nobody can do nothing with the law when you know the law. Part of our freedom is because we had educated leaders who understood the law. And we use his law to get our freedom.
I want to tell you a little story real quick. When I was working in the prison, I'm a retired correctional officer, and when I was working in prison, I love to read law books. I still love to read law books. There's two types of books that are in the world today. One is to take you out of the world into a heavenly for eternity. That's God's word. That's his book. That's God's word. But guess what man's law is? Man's law is a law book.
This law
book guides all human existence and endeavors. That's their Bible. That's Satan. That's the world.
That's it. But you're right.
There's another book. And it's the Bible. That's the book that you and I teach from at Sunday school. That's the book that you teach from when you stand in the pulpit and address audience. That's the right book. But this book right here will temporarily get you over here in this world, but it won't save you.
That's the stuff
we need to be bringing to young folk now. It's two different books, and it's two different guidelines
for
you. One of them is of God. One of them is of Satan. God is allowing Satan to run this show down here now. COVID-19.
Yeah, he's the prince of the world.
He's
the prince of the air.
Yeah.
I mean, he is allowing
the prince of the air.
God gave him that.
Yes, sir.
But God gave us the intelligence to understand the difference.
Woo.
And we used to teach our children this. We used to teach our children. They taught us about slavery, about how certain white Americans was, think on and their opinions of this, and they would tell us, well, you can trust this, but don't trust that. They put our boots on, man. They made us aware. They said, listen, you over here, you got your broom, and you got another young man, and he's white, and he's got a broom. You got to sweep better than him. They taught us what we had to do to survive. Well, who are teaching our young people today? Who's teaching our young people? Who giving them some type of sense for direction? Who's warning them of the pitfalls they got to face, the challenges they got before them? Who's letting them know they got to be better than any other student that they sit beside?
Do you know?
We're not equal.
We hear it. Do you know we here at NADA? Oh, I love it, Dr. Howard. I believe we in the bloodline. I just met you and we just talking. We're talking like we've been talking for 50 years. That's spiritual, man.
It is.
Do you know? Do you know, other than radio, 15 or 20 radio stations, or maybe 40 or 50 radio stations that NIDA would have, is that we can begin a daily or weekly broadcast talking basic about what we're talking about, the law book and God's book, the community way and God's way, your mama's way and your daddy's way and God's way. We can begin to broadcast daily or weekly ministries focuses on young people and young adults and turning their lives around. And it begins with acknowledging that God didn't create no junk.
That's right. That's right.
You are a creation of the Most High God. You are the crown of His creation. And in fact, while some of you are aborting your babies, God knew that baby in the womb.
That's right.
Let's get back down to the ground where we come from and how we in this country, I'm going to be interviewing you and here we, but anyway, I'm writing out ideas. This is a second one now. We can start a daily broadcast with this radio station and others that we bring in with exactly on the ground root information based on God's word. But there is a, with God's word, you can navigate man's word, the law book. In fact, the only way you're going to beat law is with law, and you're exactly right.
That's right.
That's how when I was a correction officer, when correction officers got in trouble, guess who they called on? They called on Officer Howard because Officer Howard knew that book.
And
that's how you beat your case.
That's it. And that's what, I mean, if you do the research and study, you would discover when Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King, they used that man's law to get to where we needed to get. Black Lives Matter, and I agree with that, but all lives matter. My problem with all that, they don't have an educated leader. And we need to go back and tie in with the millenniums that I'm supporting 100%, but they need some of us because they need a leader that knows and can speak and can speak the language, biblical language, like you said first. Then we got to bring our biblical language. That's what King done. He brought the Bible into existence with the white man's law. I hate to say it that way. But but that's the way it was.
Here's another thing, Dr. Clayton. When you, as an individual, young black man, let me tell you about when I first that led me on a path of destruction. You think you are rebelling against a white man's law or white man control, but guess who you're rebelling when you start rebellion? You are rebelling against God.
That's right.
And you don't most black folks don't understand that. When you were rebelling or do your trials and your tribulations prior to you becoming into the path lane in which you're in now, when you were rebelling and raising hell, you thought you were fighting a white man. But guess what? God allowed you to get in that position in which you were in to fight that white man because he was above you. And he put somebody above you so to guide you. And you thought it was just a white man. But it was your mama, it was your daddy, your good brothers and sisters, or whoever they were. They was who God placed over you as your teacher until you graduated. The same way now with what God, how God does us now. You know about graduating in the Word of God. What a powerful. How do we get back? I know we on the same board, in the same arena here now with Dr. McCarvey. Can we start putting it together? Can we start putting that grassroots stuff? It takes money now.
Yes.
It takes
money, time, and dedication.
Whoo! And we can.
We have to be dedicated to the cause. God's word. If you a prophet or someone that's really called by God. God, see, you don't have a choice in civil rights leadership if you are a preacher. A real gospel preacher, white or black, have to be concerned about what's going on in the land. It's impossible to be a prophet and don't care. I don't be involved. I have to be involved. I don't have a choice. My flesh say I don't. But my soul and my spirit says I have no choice. I have to get out here. If it causes me to get gunned down by Bloods or the Crips, because I'm out there trying to get the Blood and Crips son and grandson saved, then so be it. I accepted my call to do this. I didn't accept my call to be able to go to sleep and die in my pajamas. I accepted the call expecting that I might get gunned down in the street, expecting I might get cut by a knife, expecting to get cussed out, expecting to be drugged to court because I was out here fighting for some black man's rights or some black woman's rights or somebody's rights who's been mistreated by the justice system. I'm supposed to be ridiculed. I signed up for this. This is what I do. This is what God called us to do. And the problem is we want clergy, we want the name, we want prophet, we want apostle without the paying the cost. There's a cost to being a prophet. I'm sorry. It's a sad indictment. The two names I just mentioned, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, you're looking at 56 years in the grave, and these two men are dead who's got a bigger voice than me, and I'm alive.
What you say?
Woo! I'm alive and got less to say than these men. And that's a sad indictment. Now, it's a sad indictment on the part of leadership, and it's a sad indictment on the part of fellowship. Because our leaders now, we don't have a lot of leaders because we ain't got no followers.
Oh, God, how much. Let me say this. We are seeking, in this organization as well as other organizations, to begin to turn tides of us leaving our first love. And here's the thing about that. When you leave God, God lets you have your way. God, if you want to fly high and jump off a building, God's not going to stop gravity to catch you.
I have
certain
a saying.
Laws go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a saying here that I teach with, and the tool is the fact that whenever you decide you want to be God, God will let you.
Oh. See how far you get.
God will let you. Whenever you decide you want to be God, he'll let you.
Mm-hmm. And he got one now running the world, Satan.
You're right.
Satan
there
was
you go.
Created
you
perfect
go.
Out of all beauty, diamonds, pearls, emeralds. He walked up in midst in the midst of the stones of fire. God made him.
Mm-hmm.
And but guess what? Satan got the big head and said, "I want to be bigger than you."
That's right.
When his downfall came, that's what led to the fight in heaven. That kicked him down there with us. So God told him, "You run the show. Go on to run the show."
That's right.
He'll let you.
You're right. In America and other countries are seeing that right now.
Mm-hmm. See, and here's the thing about America. I believe in my heart what America has never come to grips with is its infidelity and its failure to adjust and love that black man that came, that he brought out of Africa to labor for him. He has never come to grips. That's why he can, that white brother and sister, our white brothers and sisters, that's why they are, it is ingrained in them. They don't know why they hate us. But what they don't understand is this. Who you got in your midst is God's people. They don't
That's
understand
right.
it. They don't understand that you and I are black folks are God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading in a book about Hitler, and he said about America, what's wrong with America? And you know what Hitler said? Hitler said that America's got God's people.
Ooh.
Have you ever heard that before?
No, I never heard that, but I got it now. I got it now.
He said, that's what's wrong with America.
I got it now.
America's got God's people. And they don't know it.
And that's where we're losing it at. And that's where, my passion is for our churches. I don't care if you Kojic, Baptist, or whatever, Presbyterian. Churches, Christians have got to come together, and it starts with this pulpit. You know, we got to do better. We got to come together. But we're too insecure about who's going to be in front. But somebody's got to be in front. So we need to get off of that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Somebody's got to be out front now. So, I mean, you don't forget that. So I don't care if it's a Kojic pastor or a Baptist pastor. But
somebody's
got to
lead.
Out front. Yeah. I'm sorry. And we might as well forget it. And we're not going to get anywhere divided. And that's what Satan does intentionally, is divide to conquer. And we have allowed him to do that. Again, I mean, why do we have to go back 56 years to see how strong we were as a unit?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Strong. I mean, you know, I know we're going to talk, sure, we're talking, you know, white, black, but white America said, what are we going to do? Are we going to deal with Martin Luther King, or are we going to deal with Malcolm X? And they both got big groups. What are we going to do? Hello? We got to do something, because, you know, because both of these two men, they got too many folk behind them.
So we got to kill them.
And, of course,
them.
You know. Yeah, right. That's why they had to go. That's why they had to go, because they realized. That's right. That's what they didn't know. They did not know that Malcolm and Martin was willing to die.
Yeah.
That's what they didn't know. And both of those fellas knew it may cost their life to get us to where we need to be. And that's why I said that spiel earlier about me. When I accepted my call in 1981, actually it was earlier than that because I ran for 12 years. But, you know, when I accepted, and that's why I ran, because I realized what I was signing up for. I didn't sign up to live. I signed up to die. I signed up to fight. I signed up to be here for not just for mere salvation. Salvation is the major thing that I preach. But how can I introduce Jesus to a hungry mama that can't feed her 6 hungry children? I can't go to her talking about salvation.
I got to get her some food.
I got to let her know that life doesn't end in this project, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to don't worry, it ain't gonna happen to your baby. You know,
mm-hmm.
Your baby don't have to
exactly.
have the life that you had. And matter of fact, mm-hmm. right now, God's going to turn your life around and your children's life around and give you a brand new sense of hope that you never had before. I got to get out there and deliver that message.
Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful books in the Bible is James.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you about how to live as a human being on the earth. How to be a Christian, and I find it so amazing. In fact, that's where I'm at right now. I just put my marker there, and I'm just toiling in it. It ain't but two or three scriptures. It's a short epistle of the Bible, but it has so much information so far as human living and what God has set in place for you to do. Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a farmer waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the earthly and latter rain. Suppose you were afraid that you're not going to get no rain and you won't plant nothing. You can't control the rain. But guess what can do? You can plant the seed. You can plant the seed. God will do the watering. That's what we got to do right now, Dr. Howard.
You're right.
My brother McCorvey said to me when we first began to talk about what me as a media person for the organization, he said, it's time. The time is now. It is time now. It's time for us.
Oh, yes.
To go to work. And I made the comment that Dr. Howard, that in the darkness that we are in, when the light comes on, it is time for you to go to work. For us to go to work.
Mm-hmm. Work-wise day for nights coming when no man can work, and we got
no man.
And it's crucial times. And I'm praying that many folk are listening to this broadcast, especially church folk. And our churches can get on the road. I mean, because we got to get involved. It's just if we want to change, if America wants a change, then God's got to be the one that brings the change.
Ooh.
And God's not going to bring the change unless He has His prophets in order. Prophets got to get ourselves together. You know, we can't pass the buck no more. You know, we got to come together. Uh huh.
So.
Hold on, Dr. Mitt. Dr. Howard, let me take this call. Hold on a minute. Hello?
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
I got to pick it up today. Whenever you get time, just call me and let me know. But I got to pick it up today.
Okay. Man, what time are you going to
do?
Okay. Me and Mary put off going to Montgomery. And as soon as I get off with the radio station, I'll come and we'll go get it, okay?
All right.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Howard, for that interruption.
You bless.
That's
you
all
bless.
Important. It fits right in with what we're doing.
Okay,
right
great. Praise God.
He runs the post office, and he has some stuff that come in that he ordered him and needs to move it. Okay. Let me say this. From your perspective, the Commission for Human Rights for NADA. We have talked here briefly on and just scratched the surface. How, from your perspective, this calls for the whole board agreeing on a strategy then moving forward. I hope this information that me and you are imparting here now will be a guide for that strategy. How can we, you as the Commissioner on Human Rights, begin to dwell into action, so forth? We don't want people to get on the human rights thinking you're human and you can do anything you want. You're human because God made you human, and He can scratch you like a gnat if He wants to. you got to acknowledge God first. And there was in prison, they say, you got to come clean. God is your guide.
Right, right.
Not you and
right,
your brains and your law book. God is your guide. That's your start. Go ahead. How do we begin some action from your perspective?
So from my perspective, the back again is well, I get off of I do nothing and do something. I mean,
You got it.
I hate to put it so bluntly like it. But, you know, we, well, McCorvey can tell you, I'm kind of against a whole lot of meetings that sit around and we meet to sit
and
bylaws. We meet
and
to
we meet
raise
oh.
funds and we meet and we discuss another strategy and all these strategies and all these plans and no footwork. No footwork. You got your 501-C3 status. You got your foundation. And as a matter of fact, some of us even got money coming in. We got revenue coming in from the government. But we not the projects are still projects. The corner store is no longer a black man's store. It belongs to some Iranian. We ain't changing nothing.
You ain't doing nothing but sitting on your no do nothing. You got to take
making plans. Yeah, making plans and writing bylaws and getting and giving our positions. We can't forget that one. Giving our positions. McCorvey tell you, I didn't want this position I got. I ain't in all this position stuff. I'm in going to work. I mean, I don't care who's the deputy commissioner. Let's go to work. I don't care who's the president. Let's go to work.
Do you know what? I said the same thing to him. See, I have been part of a Pacer Corporation for over 20-some years, and I worked in the field. I did planted gardens. I built greenhouses. In other words, I labored. I ran like crazy from that front office. And when they finally decided they're going to make me executive director, chairman of the board, not executive director, there's another guy that's executive director, that's Dr. Shelton. They make me chairman of the board, which is a facilitator. And the lady that was already the chairman of the board, she said, look, let me tell you something. Ain't no use you saying no. It's been planned on and it's set in stone. They said, you've been running around out there for 25 years. It's time for you. Ain't no use you saying no. I said, okay, I'm done with it. Okay, I'll take it. But the thing about it, I'm a worker. I am a worker. That's me, Dr. Howard. I love getting dirty. Nailing the nails.
That's me. I
want
to out in the field. I want to get out here and get something done. And, you know, and so that's the – our major setback is we've been bamboozled by organizations. When we had come from a cloth of doers from organizations, the CLC and all of them back in the day, NAACP, I mean, they're not what they used to be or what they were cut from. Now, I'm sorry. And I'm a diehard. I'm a lifetime member of the NAACP. I was a four-year president of the branch in Mingo County in West Virginia for the NAACP, and for the Black Concerned Citizens. And those organizations did legwork. Those organizations stayed in court. NAACP stayed in trouble back in the 60s and the 70s. Stayed in trouble, you know, because they were always into something trying to help somebody. You know, and that it was slandered and everything else because they was always involved trying to help somebody. And now the NAACP and many other these black old organizations have got tied up with law and got them tied up where they can't do nothing. Simple as that. And we did a lot of this stuff
well,
to ourselves trying to hold these positions.
Well, look at here. I have embarked on several things since me and Dr. McCorvey talked. And one of them is to all the local truck drivers here in this community. I'm going to get every one of them's name and their address, and I'm going to give them the information which NADA have for government contracts. You know, if you be a government transporter. I'm going to bring them to the table. I'm going to set the plate before them that you fill out this information and you become a government contractor. In other words, you can transport, if you, unless you got one truck, government, whatever they want to see it. They sometimes they need just one truck. Sometimes they need a fleet of trucks. But if you want to come to the table of receiving revenue from the federal government as a truck driver and transporting stuff, here's what you do. I can't make you eat, but I'm going to set the plate in front of you, every one of them. And the ones that fill that paperwork out and become a government contractor, subcontractor for, you know, transporting government stuff, is one that's going to be eating from the plate. If you don't, that's up to you. But I'm going to set the plate for you. That's the first thing that I'm going to do. But I do want to begin, I do want to begin a series of radio stations doing just what me and you doing now, talking the ground roots of change in this country. Now, that's, I took on number two first, to my two second, but I am the one radio station by myself right now. But I do know that I can get that information before these truckers here, and I know locally. That's what I can do.
All right.
Now, now from our perspective, tell us about your specific tasks now, so far as prisons and anything that your particular duties as a human rights commissioner for NADA.
We've been successful. I had a young man, I believe, was in Spartanburg, North Carolina, South Carolina, one of those Carolinas, Spartanburg. I think that's South Carolina, I believe that is. And he was falsely in prison. And if I'm not mistaken, that young man, his first name was Chandler. I think they gave him 5 years for trespassing or something. But anyway, when Dr. McCorvey and myself and others looked into it, come find out that it wasn't trespassing, charge wasn't true, and they wound up letting him go. And we got him out, and he wound up back in Chicago. I got involved because the uncle and the aunt of the young man called me for some assistance. And so we gave them, you know, got involved, and like I said, the Lord blessed us. Come find out the boy never been in trouble. None of the charges wasn't true or anything. So he wound up being extradited back to Chicago, and I think all charges was dropped. And then we had another incident, and this was a little white fella, matter of fact. I did have an opportunity of meeting him through my ministry. The other one I didn't meet at all, but he wasn't black neither. He was an African young man, I think around 22 years old, I believe he was. McCorvey can give you his exact name. He's in Cincinnati. From my understanding, a candy bar from out of a vending machine, and they put the young man in jail for over a year. And so same scenario, we put some investigating on it, come find out. I don't know, like, a vending machine, so it's hard to say if maybe he put the money in there and it, you know, didn't come out, he got mad, shut the machine. Heck, I'm guilty of that one. I don't know too many folks have it.
Shaking that machine.
My candy machine, yeah, you know what I mean? Put my dollar in there and give me my candy bar. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what happened or not, but anyway, he got out, he got released to his mother's custody. So those were two things that Dr. McCorvey was very successful in doing, and then some other. He's looking at another incident. Got a young man in Chillicothe who actually been in there 44 years, and the warden came and put him. Well, you know how the system go. I guess they interviewed him or talked to him or whatever, and told him he would never get out. So he'd been denied parole. I don't know how many times. When he was sentenced in the 70s, he had double life. From my understanding, at that time, life was 20 years. And, you know, my understanding, I'm not sure, I'm not up to stoop with that totally with the law. And then, so 20 years mean that he got double life, 40 years he should have been out. So he done 44 years and have not that out. And the warden or whoever talked to him and let him know that he probably would not be getting out. And he went in there when he was 17 years old. So he's working on that case now, trying to see, you know, why come it's not a possibility for this young man to get parole. And so we haven't heard much back from that yet. But the other two cases, Lord bless us to deal with those. So that's mm-hmm. and that's part of my understanding of what NAB is sort of about, from my understanding. And so, you know, of course, we want to get involved with many community action situations for like housing for our seniors and, you know, rehab for our young people who are addicted to drugs for whatever reason, or alcohol, rehab for teenagers where they're not going to college, but we can direct them in the direction of maybe getting some type of trade and being somebody. So, it, you know, NAB is supposed to cover a broad area.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to interview Edna Gout several weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that she had met you and met that you was instrumental in some life changing directions and so forth. Her life was concerned and her lifestyle.
Oh yeah,
and
Edna.
Things
yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I pastor her mom
and
her dad. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and her, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that was in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Yes, she's a testimony. And, yes, I mean, I've known her probably when I got there, she had just got out of high school and graduated, I guess. So she might have been 19, 20, 21, somewhere around in there. And I'll never forget, her mom asked me to go talk to her. And I drove to a place called Roanoke, Virginia from White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, to meet Edna. And, she was a gorgeous young lady, because I'm sure she told you her story and what she's been
mm-hmm.
through. But, yeah, she's a real testimony. She's a real testimony, a real testimony. And the Lord, and, you know, I had a lot at that time. In fact, I had a drug dealer in that city that he actually would call me when he sold some bad stuff to one of the people and whatever, and he just knew that they weren't going to make it back or messed up so bad in the head. The dealer himself would call me and say, Pastor Howard, I got a young lady, a young man. I need you to come over here and talk to him. And I would literally go to the dope house and
mm-hmm.
talk to the young lady, talk to the young man, get him out of there, baptize many of them because of a dope
mm-hmm.
dealer. I had a good relationship
mm-hmm.
with a dope dealer. He, matter of fact, he finally
mm-hmm.
came to church.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I even baptized
mm-hmm.
him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got popped, well, then I kept a relationship with him. I remember when he got raided, and his house was not far from the church parsonage. So I watched him when they carried him away, and then I kept a relationship with him while he went to prison. And again, he got saved, and so many of his people he sold drugs to, you know, I was able to minister to them. But I wouldn't have been able to minister to them if I didn't build a relationship with the drug dealer. And a lot of times
mm-hmm.
we preachers, we don't want to do that. But
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, we got to do that.
Now,
and his name was Lee. His name was Lee, and he...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll just put down Mr. Lee. From my perspective
mm-hmm.
as a media person for the organization, these are the real stories that I want to do. But let me tell you this. Edna's story brought me to tears. Edna's story brought me to tears.
I bet.
She refuted all of the devil's weapons. She knocked down every devil dart. She knocked down that devil dart about
mm-hmm.
homosexual and lesbian can't change.
Yep.
She knocked down that dart about you were born like that. She, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she can do it.
Story.
Yep, and that's something
see,
I'm,
that's,
well, matter of fact, I'm going to show, tell, share with you. But one of my greatest goals with her, and I told McCorvey too, is I want her out there because of the statement and testimony she's got, and for the longevity that she was indulged with homosexuality, and she's still saying that it's not right. And I feel the same way. I mean, you know, if I'm you know, a young preacher, and if I got an adultery problem, it don't make it right.
No.
Hello.
Ain't no use rationalizing it either.
No, I'm still wrong. You know, and that's what I want her to do is let them know. Listen, we ain't trying to change you that way. We just want you to admit that you're wrong, and just come on, then let the Lord change you. You know, we ain't judging you. You know, sin is sin when you get done with that. So we ain't judging you, but you can't come out here talking about you want rights and God made you that way. Don't lie on God. God did not make me hoish. My lust makes me hoish.
And guess what did it say about God can't be tempted. Guess who? When you tempted,
no.
You know who doing it? You.
Hello. Yeah.
You're the one want
that's what's so
woman.
Powerful about her.
Woman. You the one want that other man.
She's
you the one want
let
that
people
other girl.
Know that, hey. Yeah, right. You know, so, you know, and it's beautiful. So I'm looking forward to getting with her as soon as this virus lifts and we can travel, because I want her out there. I want her part of a team, you know, especially going into prisons and stuff, that you don't have to remain the same. You know, and she's a good one. She's a good one to do it.
Well, Dr. Clayton, we can begin to build a foundation now with these stories recorded here on tape.
Mm-hmm.
On radio.
Oh, great.
All blasting all over the world. And we need a team of people from NADA that their whole job is to blast the stories that we bring forward from our midst.
And, you know, it's something else. I don't know if she shared this, and I'm sure she won't mind me sharing it because her daddy was my deacon. But I didn't know how abusive he was. And, you know, so she even got a story that can help somebody. She has a reason for being a lesbian.
Oh, yes.
And her reason, it goes back to her dad beating her mom. And, you know, you just, and, you know, folk need to know, you know, what harm they're doing to their children, you know. And they need to know. And, you know, and she's still wrestling, still learning. And I tell her all the time, I said, baby, God allowed you to go through this for a purpose. I said, God allowed you to be a lesbian for a purpose.
Whoa.
And her purpose is unbelievable, man. You know, and if you would have met her dad and her mom is sweet she can be, man. I mean, but her dad, you talking about a walking church. You would just think he was a walking church. I had no idea. I had no idea. But he was just as, you know, which the truth came out later. But how many years have he deceived the whole city and the membership of First Baptist as being a sure enough man of God and not knowing his daughter was a lesbian?
He was a domestic abuser.
And, you know, when she told me some stuff, man, it knocked me out of the water. And, you know, and then when I confronted him, his response to me was, Reverend, you mean to tell me you ain't never had to lay your hands on your wife? You know, they got to get beat sometime. This was his thought.
Ooh.
So he thought he was right.
What'd you say?
You heard what I said. That was his response to me.
That's why we need to get at the ground roots of young people and young adults to understand what the truth is.
You know, because kids grow up like that. You know, they think this is the way life's supposed to be. I'm supposed to hear that for them. You know?
I guess I got to kill this other dealer.
Yeah.
I guess I got to kill this other guy that's selling drugs who encroaching on my... Ooh, it's just
territory.
The mindset.
You're
the
right.
Devil is, yeah.
Yes.
Predator.
Yes. 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 Mm-hmm.
Against your own people, mm-hmm. Dr. Howard. I'm telling you, man, we've been we're in the same lane, son.
Well, I have enjoyed this to the fullest. I got another meeting I got to hasten to.
Okay,
they're making fun
I understand.
Of me now.
I understand.
So, I hope I was a blessing in some way, somehow. And anything mm-hmm. else I can do,
you
please,
will.
You got my number, my cell number, and everything. Just give me a jingle and let me know.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, look, anytime I do a radio broadcast, most of them I find some kind of way to pray. And I can't think of a better time. I'm going to say a brief word, and I want you to pray, and I'll be real brief. Our Father,
okay.
Savior, Jesus Christ, this is Freddie Howard from the loins of Loretta and Willie Howard, two servants who once walked this earth before you. God, you know all about me. You know everything there is to me. You know about my iniquities and the things that I need to change. God, thank you for this moment that I have sat down across many miles and communicate with Dr. Howard on the issues of matter and the things that we need to do in our community to change it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Give us your
Hallelujah.
Wisdom and your knowledge that we may be able to accomplish your task. These men bless us, our son, in Jesus' name. For your glory, Jesus. Not ours, but for your glory. Amen. Go ahead, Dr.
Amen,
Howard.
Amen. All right, Father in heaven, we do thank you for Brother Howard and myself touching and agreeing together to reminisce and talk about some issues that we feel you are summoning some of us to attack. And Lord, we want to attack this with the strategy that only heaven can give us. So we want wisdom from above. First of all, Lord, forgive us of our sins and our faults and our wrongdoings, that this particular prayer would be heard, that we not only build an organization, but we build a foundation, and we get out here and do the legwork, and we make the difference. So we're calling on heaven. We're calling on angelic hosts. We're calling on the full anointing of the Holy Ghost to be upon our lives, that we can go out here and make a biblical statement that's going to turn our country in the right direction to give you the true worship and the glory and the praise that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you for us meeting telephonically together and for this opportunity to expound one to another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Dr. Howard,
all
thank
right,
you,
so.
Thank you, son. I love
and
it.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
Call me anytime. Love you, too. Looking forward to laying eyeball on you. Okay, now. You
exactly.
be blessed. Here.
All right. All right. Let the plan
bye.
Go forward. God bless you. Be safe now.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
We are coming down to the close of our broadcast on our interview with Dr. Clayton Howard, Deputy Commissioner for Human Rights for the National Association of Black Defenders, Incorporated. They're in Washington, D.C. We want to thank Dr. Howard for his powerful words and insights and wisdom on the directions of matter and summons from our directions from God above and his guidance and his wisdom through the Holy Spirit that we have solved some of the problems of his people, God's people. We thank you. And on behalf of all of us here at House Hebrew and Gospel Block Talk Radio, and on behalf of the National Association of Black Defenders, our media source here, located at 231 6th Avenue in Beatrice, Alabama, our email address for the host, Freddie C. Howard, is freddiechoward@gmail.com. Or you can email me at housegospel@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook, and you can also find me on the National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated page, on the very first page, on its home page, down at the bottom of the page. There you will see our interview with Ms. Edna Gouch, which we did sometime in the past. We also have our interview with the Executive Director of the National Association of Black Defenders, Dr. Michael McCorvey. And this interview as well, we go on there with the executive board member, Dr. Clayton Howard, the Deputy Commissioner of Human Rights. as we begin to make a media push to bring into the national focus and into the focus of the mindsets of our people in this country and all over the world about the changes that they can make based on biblical principles of Christ and love for each other. On behalf of all of us here at House Super American Gospel Blog Talk Radio, on behalf of National Association of Black Defenders, located at 1629 K Street, Northwest Suite 300, Washington, D.C., 2006, at telephone number 202-508-3686, 561-236-2024. And if you need legal counsel, you can call 202-609-8755. If you like comments, you can address them to nabd@lobbyist.com. Make your comments. Send them to Dr. Michael McCorvey at nabd@lobbyist.com. At nab@lobbyist.com. Or send them to freddiechoward@gmail.com. On behalf of the National Black Association, the National Association of Black Defenders, we see y'all next time on House of Gospel, Blog Talk Radio. Take care now. God bless.